Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Man, how many blessed folks are in this house today? Come on, let's give God some praise. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank all of you for being here. Wednesday night was in here with our life group, and we just had a tremendous service. And I went home, and on my way home, I could feel my throat was closing up, and I could feel I'm not confessing anything, but I could just tell I was getting fever. And I went in, and Janet's like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'm not feeling good." So Thursday morning, I went to my doctor, and they said I had the flu. So I've just pretty much canceled everything and stayed in. Thank you. I'm not sure what's funny, but y'all are welcome to let me know. Got it. I still can't hear too well, seriously, and I'm going to do my best this morning. So I went and got a little steroid shot and got on some medicine, and I just stayed in and just stayed studying and praying and just being with the Lord. And now I get to be with you, and it's a real honor to get to be with you. And for the last couple weeks, I've had something really in my spirit, and I want to stay in the vein of that. And so if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Thank all of you for being here, all of our guests, all of you sweet people. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Ryan, he does such a great job. I wish I had his natural sense of humor. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. If you didn't bring your Bible, it's okay. Just look up on the screen with us. If you're ready, say amen. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Verse 41. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. This second mile commandment is really not as simple as it seems. It's definitely not about walking another mile with someone so you can kind of chit-chat and catch up on the latest of what is happening. It's not just another stroll in the park. To really appreciate what Jesus was saying and what this second mile is all about, we have to go all the way back in time to the Roman Empire. Some claim that several hundred years before Christ came, the Roman Empire enacted a law that forced every Jewish male, young and old, to carry any Roman soldier's burden when ordered for 1 mile. They had to do it at any time or any place. The burden that soldier required that Jewish man or Jewish boy to carry could be a backpack similar to what you see here. This is actually Jamie Stewart's backpack. He was in the Army Reserves. And I asked Jamie a question because I did a little bit of research. And I found out that a Roman's backpack could actually come up to weighing 100 pounds. And I didn't know if that was true or not. I kept looking and studying and referencing, and I found out that, yes, it is true. And I asked Jamie, I said, Jamie, what's the heaviest you've ever taken on this backpack? He said, Pastor, he said, I've had it as heavy as 85 pounds. He told me this morning, he said, I've had my backpack as heavy where I couldn't put it on my shoulders. I had to sit down, put it around my shoulders, and then somebody lift me up so that I could get up. That's how heavy my backpack was. So I just want you to kind of put yourself in a Jewish boy or a Jewish man's place. That Roman soldier's backpack could easily weigh 75 to 100 pounds. And if that was the case, if that man had carried it any amount of time, then most likely his backpack smelled like sweat. But check this out, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if you were a Jewish boy that had just got cleaned up. If he commanded you to carry it, you could be freshly clean, but you had to pick it up and carry it. It didn't matter if you had a lot of commitments that you were supposed to make that day and you had your day itemized out and you were supposed to be busy all day long. It did not matter. You had to pick that backpack up and carry it at least a mile. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to understand that this wasn't easy. This wasn't just a light task. This wasn't just a stroll in the park. If this soldier commanded you to pick it up, you had to pick it up and you had to carry it for 1 mile. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put yourself in that Jewish boy or that Jewish man's place. And I'm going to ask you the question, what would you have done? Well, really, you only have two options. First, you either pick up the burden and you walk a mile with it, or you get beaten up and you spend a day in jail for defiance. So it's easy to see how this law caused terrible resentment among the Jews toward the Roman government. In fact, if you keep doing some research, you will find that many of the Jewish men and the Jewish boys, what they would do is they would put stakes a mile from their house so that if they were commanded to pick up this Roman soldier's backpack, what they would do is that they would carry it until they saw the stake from their house. And as soon as they saw that stake, it represented a mile, and they wouldn't carry it 1 inch further. They dropped it right there. I'm done. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've obeyed the law, and so there it is. So now, here is Jesus in our text. He's addressing the multitudes and his disciples, and here he comes up and he says this: if anyone compels you to carry a backpack a mile, he says, go to. Now, I just put myself in that situation, and if I got to thinking about that, if you're a disciple, if you're one of the multitudes, you're probably thinking as you're hearing Jesus teach that, your first thought is probably, he must have lost his mind. He must have lost his mind. Does he really expect us to do more than what the law requires us to do? Not only that, but think about this. Carrying a burden on the Sabbath violates the Jewish law. For example, the Lord healed a man, right? He healed a man on the Sabbath day and he told him, he said, pick up your mat and go home. Here's what the Jewish leader says in John's 5 and 10. Here's what they say. They say, it's a Sabbath day and it is unlawful for you to carry thy bed. So think about this. The Jew is already breaking the law when he is compelled to walk a mile on the Sabbath. Right? So now Jesus is saying, guess what? I don't want you just walking 1 mile. I want you walking 2 miles. So can you imagine how those disciples and how those multitudes felt that day? If you were Jewish and you were in the crowd, how would you feel? What would you do? So you have a dilemma. Would the religious Jews stone you for obeying the Lord and disobeying their Jewish law? Or is the Lord now encouraging them to break the Jewish law? Are you following me? If you're Jewish right now and you're hearing what the Lord is saying, you're probably a little bit confused. Are you with me? So, does the Lord really want me as a Jewish man and as a Jewish boy to be nice to the enemies that are occupying our homeland? When Moses distinctively told us in the book of Exodus that you're going to drive out and destroy all of your enemies? And now the Lord is telling us, no, you're not going to destroy your enemies. You're going to love your enemy. You're not going to just take this 100-pound backpack 1 mile. Guess what? You're going to take it too. And in fact, if it's on the Sabbath, I still want you to do it, even though it's breaking your own law. Now, that's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind around. Is it you? But in essence, here's what the Lord is saying. He's beginning, brothers and sisters, to introduce a transition. He said this in verse 38. You have heard it said. Right? An eye for an eye. Really, if you go back and look at it, under the law, if you got somebody's eye, they could take off your head. So when Jesus comes and says an eye for an eye, he's actually raising the bar. He's saying, I'm telling you, don't even do what the culture does. I'm telling you, you got to go against what the culture says. He's teaching his disciples to do more than what is required. Go beyond the minimum rule and show the power of relationship. Jesus is saying that any pagan, any unsaved person can go 1 mile. But he's teaching his disciples, this is an opportunity for you to impact a life. The first mile that you walk, you may walk as a slave to the Roman Empire. But the second mile you walk, you're doing it as a servant of the Most High God. Are you with me? See, the first mile Jesus was teaching is the have-to mile. That's the first mile. But the second mile is the want-to mile. Are you with me? The second mile is where you master the situation because you're making a choice to go beyond what is required. The first mile is the trial mile. The second mile is the smile mile. Can I say it again? Jesus was teaching, I don't want you to just do the trial mile. I don't want you to feel like a slave that's got to obey the law. I want you to understand as a servant, you're going to be smiling and you're going to impact a life. This is more than the rule. This is the relationship. Are you with me? Now imagine the scene with me here. The first scene is a Roman soldier commanding a Jewish boy or a Jewish man to carry his backpack for an entire mile. The first Jewish man or boy becomes extremely upset. They're very frustrated. They've got to pick this soldier's backpack up. They got to carry it a mile. And as he carries it a mile, he talks in angry tones to the soldier. He's upset. You can tell he's aggravated. He has things to do. He may be even full of rage. He's got a lot of prejudice against this Roman guy. How dare you be in my land, rule over me, and tell me what to do? I ought to be taking you out. And so there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of rage. There's a lot of resentment in this guy's heart. Now, let's go the second scene. It's completely opposite of the first. As soon as the Roman soldier commands the Jewish male to carry his backpack, the Jewish person responds with a warm greeting. In his heart, he truly wants to show love. And along the way, he encourages conversation between himself and the soldier. And at the end of the first mile, the Jewish person says, "If you don't mind, I'd be honored to carry your backpack for the second mile." Now think about the look on that soldier's face. When that soldier knows there's something that is different about you. Most likely, ladies and gentlemen, that guy who's all upset about having to carry it, he ain't talking about the Lord. He's not excited about having to do it. He wants to get as quickly as he can to his little mile marker. He's not going to take it an inch further. He's going to drop it. It's hasta la vista, baby. He's running back home to do what he needs to do. But that second mile man, he's starting to make an impact. He's starting to be able to tell him, "Man, why are you willing to do this? I've never had anybody carry this thing a second mile." "Well, I tell you, I got under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you just a minute about the Lord." Sure. "Well, I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's the Savior of the world." "Well, who is this?" "His name is Jesus Christ. And he's totally changed my life. And I no longer resent you anymore. I no longer am mad or angry at you anymore. I want you to know that I love you. And hey, it's an honor to be able to serve you." Can you imagine the difference that that makes in a person's life? The first mile is all about the law. I'm having to do it. But the second mile is all about love. I'm choosing to do it because I want you to see such a difference in me. Brothers and sisters, there's something that is gripping me on the inside. And that is, I'm not excited any longer just to be a Christian. I'm not excited anymore just to say, "You know what, I went the first mile." There is something on the inside of me that says I want to impact people's lives. And the only way I see to be able to do that is not to do just the bare minimum. It's not just to call myself a Christian. It's not just to go the first mile, but it is to go that second mile and build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you take 5 minutes and give God some praise? This second mile really makes a statement about being a disciple of Christ. It makes a statement about doing more than what is expected. Whether we're talking about our jobs, whether we're talking about sports or our relationships or whatever, no one excels at doing the bare minimum. I can tell you this, if you come to work for me and you're looking at your clock, it's not going to be long. I'm going to be looking for you a way out. And not that I'm trying to hold, I don't try to hold our people over every day, but there's just some days you don't get it all done by 4 o'clock. And you sure appreciate people that are willing to stay there with you and say, Pastor, hey, I know it's 4, but listen, we're going to get this done and I'm with you and whatever it takes, we're going to get it done. That's the kind of people you want to surround yourself with, is I'm not here to do the bare minimum. I'm not here to just make it to 4 o'clock. I'm not just here to do what I barely got to do. Can I preach this morning? Can I talk to somebody? You know what? I don't want to get to heaven and have made it by 18 inches and said, at least I made it. That's not my mentality. I don't want to make heaven by 18 inches. I want to make it, brothers and sisters, all the way. I want to say, God, I was willing. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This is not about doing the bare minimum. This is not just about doing it to the letter of the law, but it's going beyond that. Here's what I believe. I believe the reason we Christians are not changing the world is because we have bought into the culture of the world. And the culture of the world says, I'm going to be there at 9, but I promise you I'm going to be out by 5. That's the culture of the world. It's the 1 mile syndrome. Did you know, I got to looking at this, did you know that the word Christian is only used 3 times in the Bible? But did you know the word disciple is used 269 times in the Bible? You say, why is that important? Well, here's why I think it's important, because it seems like Christians today just want to know, what is the minimum I have to do to be a Christian? Wherein as a disciple understands the impact of the second mile. It's not about the law, it's about love. In the vein of that thought, what if we went up to our fiance and looked at them and said, tell me what is the minimum I've got to do to marry you? How many of you think that you would be married today if that's the first question you ask your future spouse? Let me see your hand. That's what I thought. None of us. If that's what Connor said to Lauren, I can promise you she wouldn't be sitting beside him today. Lauren, tell me what is the minimum I've got to do to marry you. Lauren don't want to know about the minimum. She wants to know, are you willing for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, when you feel like it and when you don't? Are you willing to get your Easter keister up, as my daddy would say, and go to work even when you don't feel like it? I'm not talking about this bare minimum stuff. I'm talking about, are you willing to be a second miler? Are you willing to show truly the love that you have in this relationship? Does that make sense? So it's interesting to realize, you guys, that nowhere that I have searched, and I could be wrong, and I'm meaning this sincerely, but nowhere that I have searched in the New Testament does Jesus ever give a bare minimum to be saved. Oh, you got quiet, didn't you? Okay, I'm going to try to prove it. Here's what he does. He tells his disciples, he says, come and follow me. This is fixing to blow your mind. He looks at Matthew, who's the most hated man in all of society. He's hated because he's a Jew. He's a Jew working for the Romans, and the Romans hate him because he's a Jew, and the Jews hate him because he's working for the Romans. He's the most hated man in all of society. It could be that he was actually collecting taxes when Jesus found him and said, come and follow me. He didn't give him a list of rules. He didn't say, this is the minimum it's going to take for you to follow me. He said, come and follow me, and I'm going to get you out of all this mess you're in. And if you'll follow me long enough, basically, this is not said, but it's inferred, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your life. Not here's the minimum requirement. Today, Christianity seems about, tell me what is the minimum. Y'all stay with me. To go from unsaved to saved. All right, Pastor, tell me what is the minimum, because I want to get from the unsaved group to the saved group. So what's the line? Because I want to cross the line. What does that look like? I do believe, brothers and sisters, in an Acts 2 conversion. I do believe in that. Absolutely. Do not misconstrue what I'm saying. I believe in it, but I don't believe it stops there. Here's what I'm saying. Salvation is not a diploma. It is a birth certificate. You missed it. I'm going to say it again. Salvation is not, here's your diploma. It's a birth certificate. It is not, I crossed the finish line, yay for me. No, it's the starting blocks. You know, salvation, I want you to understand this statement. Salvation isn't about getting you into heaven. It's about getting heaven into you. It's about changing our mindset from one-milers, like the world thinks, to changing our mindset to we're two-milers. It's changing our mindset from what's the bare minimum I've got to give. Oh, it's going to get quiet, isn't it? What's the bare minimum I got to give? What's the bare minimum I got to do? Is that one service on Sunday? Is that two? Do I have to come to life groups? Are you wanting 10%? I mean, who does that? That's crazy. Don't you know it takes everything we got to make it? What is the bare minimum that I got to do? Are you going to be happy, Pastor, if I show up one service a week and give 7%? And that's the difference between the one-milers called Christians and the two-milers called disciples. You go totally against the culture of the world because Jesus never did say, come and let me tell you what the bare minimum is. He said, in fact, if you want to be my disciple, you need to forsake all. Pick up your cross and come and follow me. You know, we think we're pretty good people until we're told to do something we don't want to do. See, the first mile, I'm going to tell you something. The first mile really shows you what's in your heart. I can't believe I'm having to carry this thing for this sucker. If I did it my way, I'd punch him in his face. You know what? I'm trying to create a culture that this is a safe house, that when you come here, you don't have to act like something you're not. And every one of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. What are you saying? I'm saying that the things that we carry on our back show us what's really in our hearts. Ugh. 10%. Oh, paying tithes, coming to church, being a disciple. You know what? When you start getting the load that you're having to carry, it starts really showing you the anger that's in your heart. It starts showing you the resentment that's in your spirit. It starts really showing you how you feel toward other people. You know why? Because you're doing it out of law. I have to do this. I'm fixing to go somewhere I didn't plan on going, but here it is. That's why, brothers and sisters, oh dear God, I didn't know I was going here. That's why you don't see a lot of smiles on Christians' faces. Because this is the have to. I have to look like this. I have to do this. Because this is what pastor says. I have to do. I have to do. It's the law. There's no joy, brothers and sisters. Listen, please hear me. I want to say this as kindly as I know how. But if the law was so great, then why did Jesus say, you've heard it said this, but I'm here to tell you this? I'm not saying there's not things we need to obey. I'm not saying there's things that, you know, that we need to walk away from. If you're thinking that, you're misconstruing the whole point of what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a huge difference in the mindset of what's the minimum I have to do, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. The minimum of what I got to do versus I'm glad to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater life than being His disciple. There is nothing greater that I could give myself to than giving myself to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than having to carry someone's backpack. This is an opportunity to show the love of God. This is an opportunity to blow somebody's mind because the world don't see this. Am I making sense this morning? I'm talking about what is the bare minimum. What is the bare minimum? And God never does give the bare minimum. Never. It's never about the bare minimum. It was always come and follow me. It wasn't, in other words, it wasn't a line to cross. It was a path to follow. Does that make sense? It wasn't, okay, here it is. I've done this. Here's your mile marker there, buddy. It's like that old song says, I'll go with him all the way. I have a lot in my spirit that I would love to say this morning, but I'm going to have to start wrapping this up. The Lord has really been dealing with me big time about the difference between me being a Christian and me being a disciple. I'm going to go back for just a minute in wrapping this up. And if you were not here last week, you're going to miss a little bit, but you can go to the podcast and listen to it. As I look at what the Lord wants, what He wanted from Moses is He wanted him to take that rod, and that rod represented everything about Moses. It represented his identity. It represented his income and his influence. It was just a dead stick. It was a shepherd's staff. But what the Lord wanted is He wanted Moses to take that, and He wanted him to be willing to lay it down. Right? Now, again, I'm going back from last week's message and picking up some things. If you didn't get it, go to the podcast. This will make sense. But when Moses was willing to lay the rod down, then the Lord said, pick it up. And when he picked it up, it became, when he threw it down, a living snake. And when he picked it back up, it became not the staff of Moses. It became the rod of God. And he used that rod to help part the Red Sea. And he used that rod to smoke that rock. And water came out of that rock like an artesian well. But he had to be willing to lay it down. He had to be willing to surrender his identity, his income, and his influence. Right? Then God goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to take this 100-year promise. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay it down. Abraham was willing to lay it down. He laid down a natural boy. But what he raised up was a supernatural blessing, because that's when the Lord spoke. And the Lord spoke in Genesis and said, Abraham, because you were willing to lay this down, I'm going to bless your descendants as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of what you've done today. But he was willing to lay it down. And then we go to the last example, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, as a man, was limited. He could only be at one place at one time. But God said, I want to lay down my only begotten son, and I'm going to lay him down on the cross. But when he came back a glorified spirit. And now he was not just Emmanuel with us, but he was Emmanuel in us. And now he was no longer limited by the limitations of his flesh, but he could be everywhere. through the power of the Holy Spirit, and people could carry on the ministry that Jesus started in the earth. What is the common denominator, Pastor? It was that all three instances, they had to be willing to lay it down and surrender in order to pick up something supernatural. Here's why I brought that in, is because we want to live a supernatural life, but we want to do it being 1 mile Christians. We want to impact people's life, and we want to live a life of significance, and we want to live a life of influence. But you know what? None of that happens until you're willing to lay it down. I'm going to be real brief. If you look at this in the life of Peter, when Peter comes and the Lord comes on the scene and he sees Peter, he's a fisherman. He's rough. He's a rough old guy. And Jesus looks at him and he says, Peter, come and follow me. And the Bible said he left his nets and went and followed him. Watch this progression now. Stay with me and I'll close. Watch this progression. Peter's a rough old guy. But he starts following Jesus. He don't even really know, y'all, who he's following. He don't. How do you know that? Because it's chapter after chapter. Until he gets the revelation of who God is. He don't even really know who he's following until he gets the revelation. And Jesus asks, who do men say that I am? And well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elias, some say you're one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Now Peter gets the revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he didn't get that revelation, brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, come and follow me. He didn't have it. But now notice what starts happening. Peter starts changing. His life starts changing. He still has problems. Yes, he's a loud mouth. He curses. He says stuff when he shouldn't be. He's talking when he shouldn't be talking. He cuts off somebody's ear. He denies the Lord 3 times. He goes and he weeps bitterly. God forgives him, restores him. Then he comes back and he preaches on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls are added. He goes from a very arrogant, rough man to an humble man to a meek man. And history says that he was a martyr for Christ. And he said, don't crucify me like the Lord, but crucify me upside down. You know how that came about? One thing you can say about Peter is this. He never did say, where's the line? Never did. You know what he did? He just kept following the Lord. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about spiritual maturity to where we become more like him. We think more like him. We act more like him. We talk more like him. It's not if I do this for you, you better be sure you do something for me. Have I made sense today? You know what I think, and this is just my thoughts. I think the reason why we're not changing the world is because we bought into the culture that says, tell me what is the minimum I've got to do. And Jesus was never about the minimum. He was always, come and follow me. And as you follow him, guess what? Your thoughts start changing. Your ideology starts changing. Your outlook starts changing. You really start realizing what is important. Man. We all go on this journey called life and we all have regrets. And I'll tell you what, one of my biggest regrets is I wish I could go back 25 years and I wish I could go back 25 years and understand that, you know what, the closer you get to Christ, the less self-centered you are and the more Christ-centered you are. The more your life transforms, your life is totally transformed. And then you realize, you know what, it's not about doing the 1 mile. That doesn't impact anyone. It's about being going on that second mile. It's truly showing the love of Christ and not living for yourself, but really living for others. If I could, I'd go back 25 years and I'd get that lesson and I'd live my life through that whole lens. The very thing that we really want the supernatural. How do I know that? Because most of what you see on TV has to do with superheroes, superpower. A lot of what's on TV now has to do with something in the spirit realm, paranormal. People want something they can't explain. Are you with me? We all want the supernatural. It's in us to want it. But in order to do that, you got to be willing to lay your life down so that you can pick it up, a surrendered vessel. Now, here's what I'm doing. I told you this last week. Here's what I'm doing now every day. Now, every day, I'm coming to the Lord, and I'm coming like this, and I'm saying, God, here I am. I want to be totally and completely surrendered to you. I want my life, God, to make an impact. I don't want to be just a Christian. I want to be a disciple. I don't want to just be a one-miler. I want to be a two-miler. And if there's some way that I can somehow put what is in my spirit into some of you, and this plays out on your job, it plays out in your relationships, it plays out in your home, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this is powerful. This has the ability to change lives. This is not just being a Christian and what would Jesus do, bracelet and a little necklace and a little bumper sticker. This is going the second mile. Would you stand with me? Brothers and sisters,
we pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.